How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? Those words from the lips of Satchel Paige goes to the very heart of the process that we call aging. He was also known to say, "Age is a case of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter." You know, there's a lot of truth to that. Aging is largely a matter of the mind. It's your attitude, not your age. One is as old as his mental posture. More about attitude than it is arteries. Attitude is the steering wheel of life, and just a slight turn can lead to a radically different destination. I remember years ago hearing this list from Chuck Swindoll. It cracked me up then, and it still does. You know you're getting older when most of your dreams are reruns. The airline attendant offers you coffee, tea, or milk of magnesia. You sit down in a rocking chair and you can't get it started. Your mind makes commitments your body can't keep. The little gray-haired lady you help across the street is your wife. Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You sink your teeth into a juicy steak, and they stay there. And my favorite one, you watch a pretty girl go down the street, and your pacemaker makes the garage door go up. Well, now that I'm approaching that stage of life, some of those statements aren't so funny anymore because they're true. But it leads to the question, what is old age? I mean, when I was a teenager, 30 was old, right? Now I'm in my 50s, 60 is still young. So what is old age? For many years, it's been widely agreed, at least by younger people, old age begins 60 to 65. You know, people age at different rates, both physically and psychologically. I mean, you just take 65-year-olds. You have some that are very active. You have some that are still on top of things and able to do things. They're very alert. They're very mature, they are very active, and you have others who seem to be slowing down already. You have some in their 80s that are still going. You have some in their 50s that aren't. And I think that has more to do with the mental state than it does the physical state. It's, again, our attitude. How old would we be if we didn't know how old we were? Age is a number. I love that commercial. The lady says, "And mine's unlisted." Yeah. What is age? And whatever you think of as old age, the truth is we're all headed there. And unless something drastic happens, we're all going to get there. And so this morning, as we wrap up our series, Coping with Change, we're going to consider a question many of us ask as we age. What is happening with my condition? What's happening with me? What's going on with my body and with my mind? Now, in one sense, I guess you could say we begin aging as soon as we're born. But as we use the term aging, we're usually talking about that process of deterioration and movement toward death rather than just getting older. The first half of our lives are usually marked by growth and increasing strength, whereas the latter part of our life is marked by decline and increasing weakness. During the middle years, this decline is generally gradual, and it's often made up for by experience and knowledge. But as we move into our more mature years, and especially the senior years, that rate of decline increases. And even experience and knowledge cannot always make up for diminished capacities. Now, you and I live in an aging culture. And I suppose that's true any time, any place. But we are seeing people live longer than in generations past. There are more seniors in our population than has been true generations before. People who belong to that huge segment of society born between the end of World War II and the mid-1960s are finding their hair turning gray. One writer put it this way: the Pepsi generation's becoming the Geritol gang. Now, the fact that some of you have no clue what that means just shows how old we're getting, right? And some of us are coping for the first time with chronic illness, relentless pain, daily medication, and that exhausting and honestly sometimes demoralizing battle against the limits of time on our human frame. Unfortunately, some of us fall into the rut of inactivity if we're not careful. There is one person that put it this way: I wake up each morning and dust off my wits, read the newspaper, and check the obits. If my name isn't there, I know I'm not dead, so I have a good breakfast and go back to bed. And for some, that's a reality. That's what life has become. But I believe there's more to growing old than that. Ted Engstrom writes, "To know how to grow old is the masterwork of wisdom, and one of the most difficult chapters in that great art of living." Sometimes the change that comes about just by aging can create the greatest challenge of all. But I believe that aging does not have to be the reason for despair. I believe it can be a basis for hope. Not a slow decaying, but a gradual maturing. Not a fate to be undergone, but an opportunity to be embraced. So I want to look at coping with change as it regards to our own condition. And the first step in doing that is we must reject the propaganda of the world. And I chose that word very carefully because I believe that's what it is. We are being fed a narrative by our culture, and it is not the truth of God's word. It is the exact opposite of it. And we need to learn how to reject the propaganda of the world. This past week, we had an opportunity to attend the Banquet for Life, sponsored by the New Life Pregnancy Center of Decatur. And we were really treated to a wonderful speaker, one of the best speakers I've probably ever heard. He was amazing. And he's overcome an unbelievable number of physical challenges since he was 10 days old. But he made a statement that just stuck with me. I had to write it down. I thought it was so profound. He said, "Don't equate one's health with one's worth." Think about that. Now, in that context, he was actually talking about children. He's talking about babies being brought into the world. He gave this illustration that I have heard so many times, and to be quite honest, I've probably said it many times, where someone is expecting, and they're asked, "You want a boy or a girl?" And what's the number one answer? "Doesn't matter as long as they're healthy." What does that say to the child who isn't? In the midst of battling some of these physical ailments that he developed as a child, His parents were approached once by a lady at a hospital and asked, "Did you know about his condition before he was born?" And they said, "No, this all took place 10 days after his birth." And the woman said, "Well, that's too bad, because if you had known in advance, you could have aborted him." What does that say? It means you're only worthwhile if you're healthy. Your value is only as good as what you can contribute to society. And in that way, our culture is very utilitarian. Your value is measured by how much you can produce. And as long as you're a contributing member of society, that's great. But if you have little or nothing to offer tangibly, you're more of a liability than you are an asset. That's the propaganda of the world. And because of that, babies are aborted because they're not right. They're not healthy, or they're just an inconvenience. But on the other end of the spectrum, we were adopting that same kind of attitude toward our elderly. Oh, they're such a nuisance. Oh, they can't contribute to society. They can't even care for themselves. They need constant care. And we often look down upon people like that in our society. That's what the propaganda of the world will tell you. Now, I'm not being unrealistic. I'm not suggesting that advancing age doesn't bring a decline in our abilities physically and mentally. You know, there are a lot of things we can't do when we're older that we could do when we were younger. But the idea that all old people are set in their ways, out of date, socially isolated, negative, with poor memories and physically decrepit bodies, there's a word for that, and it's called ageism. And it is no less discriminatory than sexism or racism. We tend to group everybody in a certain category and say they're all like this. No, they're not. There are people at a much advanced age that are still out there and going and active and doing it all. And some aren't. Who's more valuable? Both. We don't equate value with one's health. We don't equate worth with one's abilities. Every person is created in the image of God. Every person is a soul for whom Christ died. Amen? That does not matter what ethnicity they are. That doesn't matter how educated they are. That doesn't matter how old they are. Doesn't matter how healthy they are. Every life matters. But that's not what you're hearing out in the world. We need to reject that. And the sad thing is, many older people have adopted that attitude about themselves. They feel like they are worthless. They are a liability. They are a burden. Did you know that one of the highest age groups of suicide is our senior citizens? Because they've bought into the propaganda of the world and they have convinced themselves they're no longer of value. They're just a liability. And that, my friends, is a lie, and we know exactly where it came from. So I suggest that we reject the myths that have arisen. These are oft-repeated beliefs that have no factual basis, but are generally accepted as true. Here are five such myths we need to reject. First, that the closing years of life will inevitably be less enjoyable and stimulating than the early years. It doesn't have to be that way. Second, that old age is a disease synonymous with disability and ill health. Again, not necessarily. Third, that the ability to change, to absorb new ideas, to learn new skills necessarily diminishes with age. What's the old cliche? You can't teach An old dog, new tricks. That might be true for canines. It's not true for humans. It's a myth. Fourth, that new relationships are difficult, even impossible to form and maintain in old age. Not true. And fifth, if you live long enough, you'll eventually be senile. No. These are myths. And we need to expose them as myths. Did you know it's possible to grow older and never get old? Yeah. It's a possibility. Now, I understand an enjoyable and fruitful old age, it's not automatic. But neither is it inevitable that our life in our later years is going to be unproductive and uninteresting and not worth living. Sure, old age brings suffering of various kinds, but I think if we emphasize the suffering of old age too much, we might start thinking that being old is the same as becoming a problem. Aging is a sad human fate that nobody escapes and should be avoided at all costs. That growing towards the end of the life cycle is a morbid reality that should only be acknowledged when the signs can no longer be denied. We've accepted the propaganda of the world when it comes to aging. And again, sadly, many seniors buy into the myths. They experience these feelings of uselessness, guilt, shame, self-pity, and fear. They look back at what they shoulda, woulda, coulda done in their earlier years. They look around and they feel worthless. They feel sorry for themselves. They look ahead and they're afraid of what's to come. And as natural and as understandable as some of those feelings are, they do not come from God. That's not where those feelings come from. The Lord does not prompt those feelings. We do. And one reason why we do is because we're listening to the wrong source. Tragically, the church has bought into this as well. In many churches that are forward-thinking and we want to see growth, who do they target? They target young families. They target young people. And I understand that. I get we need to reach the next generation so that the church will be around when we're gone. I get that. But we don't have to leave the senior generation in the dust. And oftentimes they feel like they're being taken for granted. They don't matter anymore. Hey, your time is done. Now you just sit back and let the young people take over. I think it's wrong. I am adamantly against any kind of church growth that targets a certain age group, any more so than I would be against church growth that targets an ethnic group and excludes the others. You get into the scriptures and it says the older women should teach the younger women, the older men should teach the younger men. That's God's idea, church growth. And we need the experience and the wisdom of our veteran adults. Those who have lived life. Those who learn things and have learned things. And have so much to share. I was going to say with the rest of us, but I'd better be careful on that one. Years ago, churches paid little attention to young people. Children were to be seen and not heard, right? Now we've flipped it. Now it's the old people that we don't care if they're even seen, long as they're not heard. And again, I think that's buying into the world. So it's not surprising that many elderly people can say with Psalm 31:12, "Those who see me in the street hurry past me. I am forgotten. As good as dead in their hearts, like something discarded." Read that. Look around And no, there are a lot of people in our society that feel exactly like that. My guess is there are probably some people in our church that feel exactly like that. That is not from God. So what do we do in response to this? Secondly, we must remember the promises of the Word. Now, there are some general promises that apply to everyone. Joshua 1:5, God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That is true regardless of how old you are. But there are some scriptures that are specifically meant for those who are older. God says in Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age, I shall be the same. And even in your graying years, I shall bear you. I have done it, and I shall carry you. I shall bear you, and I shall deliver you. Even to your old age, even to your graying years. That is a promise from God. God does not change. His care for you does not change. His attitude toward you does not change, even as we get older. Turn to the passage that was read earlier, Psalm 71. It's what Howard Hendricks calls a psalm for old age. Psalm 71. Beginning in verse 9, do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. I just want to pause for a moment there. I know this psalm was directed to God, but couldn't it also be directed to us? Do not cast me away when I am old. Don't lock me up somewhere and forget about me. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone and I need constant help. For my enemies speak against me, those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say God has forsaken him, pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to those who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I think verse 9 could be a cry to our culture and our churches. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Sadly, they might, but God never will. Verse 14, but as for me, I will always have hope. This is what we can do in the face of aging. Don't give up your hope. Don't give up your faith. Keep trusting in God. Keep trusting in His Word. And that's what helps us become better and not bitter. Because sadly, the caricature of older people is that they become sour and bitter. And for many, that's true. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can maintain our hope in God. We can keep our faith fresh and new. And what a delight that is. I believe there's a vital link between hope and health. When we lose our hope, our health declines. But again, by focusing on an unchanging God, we can have hope despite our changing condition, because He never changes. In the New Testament, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal." Once again, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't lose our hope. Even though the outer man is decaying, he's acknowledging what happens because of age and time, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. That's a choice. That's a choice we make. Focusing our eyes on the eternal will keep what's temporary in proper perspective. Remembering the promises of God's word, it's not going to prevent all the ailments that's associated with aging, but it'll give us hope beyond the hurt. And it'll keep us from becoming bitter. So I challenge you to resolve the pattern of your walk. And honestly, though this message is really devoted to aging, it applies to all age groups. Old age should be a time of expectation, not escape. Of inward development, not merely outward deterioration. A time of growing up, not just growing old. We looked last week at the fact that growing up doesn't come with growing bigger necessarily. And growing up doesn't necessarily come with growing old. We like to equate wisdom with old age. That doesn't always happen. But it can. It all depends on our focus. The problems of aging are real. But more than anything else, our attitudes are going to determine how we experience those later years. We must master the aging process and not be mastered by it. And again, so much of that depends on our attitudes. It's our approach that we take. We have no choice about growing old. But we do have a deciding vote on how we spend those years. And here's the key. That vote is being cast right now, whatever your age. You may be a teenager. You may be in your 20s. You may be in your 30s. You may be in your 70s or 80s. The decisions you make today are going to direct your future. How we think, what we are, what we now do formulates tomorrow. Someone called aging a do-it-yourself process. And it doesn't start when you turn 65. It's what you do in those years leading up to it that's going to make a difference when that time comes. We are our own fashion designers of our lives, physically, intellectually, socially, and spiritually. Dr. Archibald Hart writes, "The best possible adjustment for advancing age is to be well in the previous stage. If your adolescent years are well adjusted, for example, your early adult years are likely to be well adjusted. If they're not, you're going to experience problems in the next stage. Each stage of life builds on the previous one. It may seem this fact holds out little hope for the older person who has not adjusted or adjusted well previously. But the reality is, it's never too late to begin. Make the most of your present stage in life. That's the best way to assure you will adjust well to your final stage. A lot of truth in that statement. Or as another writer put it, in middle life, you don't want to make a junkyard of your old age. I want you to turn to one last scripture, Ecclesiastes 12. The final chapter of that book in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I don't have time to go through this whole section. If you want to see a very poetic and realistic view of old age, verses 1 through 8 really paint that picture. But notice verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, I take no delight in them. And in the next several verses, Solomon describes what aging is like. Very picturesque terms. Body systems break down. Sickness and weariness become routine. We do get weaker. Some have suggested that Ecclesiastes 12 gives us the clearest biblical picture of our later years. Over a century ago, pioneer psychologist G. Stanley Hall called this Bible description the most pessimistic, albeit realistic, description of old age ever written. It's realistic in its portrayal of old age, but yet it maintains a positive attitude. If you remember your Creator in your youth. What does it mean to remember? It's not just a mental act of recalling. It's to drop our pretense of self-sufficiency and commit ourselves to Him. Commit yourself to your Creator when you are young, while you can. Don't put it off and say, oh, I've got many years ahead of me. I've got time for that stuff later. Number one, you don't know that. And secondly, even if you do have many years on earth, when that time comes, you may not have the ability or the desire to commit your life to God. So before the doom and gloom of old age sets in, make God's viewpoint your own. While you still have strength, adopt a God perspective. You know, when you're young, you're always dying to do this and dying to do that. One day, you're just going to be dying. So prepare now for that. So if you're young, which my book means if you're younger than me, start recognizing now God's word and His will for your life. Don't fall for the lie of Satan that you got plenty of time for that religious stuff. Get your act together now, and it's going to improve each successive stage in your life. If you are older, if you're like me and beyond, don't buy into culture's myth that life is all but over, that you are useless and worthless and just in the way. Old age is an important and meaningful part of God's will for our lives, every bit as much as youth. He is interested in the waxing and the waning of life. Just as potential is locked up in young people and sometimes never developed, so the full possibilities of old age often remain dormant. They can die with that person. It's never too late to begin living. We're all getting older. We can't change that. But because we can't change the inevitable, we can't adjust to it. And we do that not a year at a time, but a day at a time. Instead of eating our heart out because of a few more aches and pains have attached themselves to our bodies, we determine to celebrate life rather than endure it. Aging isn't a choice, but our response to it is. And in so many ways, we ourselves will determine how we will grow old. Will you bow with me as we close in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, the ageless one, we live in a world of time and space. We live in bodies that are progressively getting older. And old age can be a challenge, but it is also a blessing. I pray that we can take the truth of your word, that we can adopt your attitudes toward life, and that we would not only grow older, but we would grow stronger and wiser, that we would grow spiritually, and that we would pass on what you have taught to us to those who come behind us. May all who come behind us find us faithful. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.